Welcome to the unofficial Clutch Podcast. I am your host, Matt, manager of the San Diego Armada. First, before I introduce my guests, just wanted to do a quick rundown on the leagues that are currently happening. We have the Summer High Heat League, which is the official Clutch League. It is currently... We got Shade and the Luchadors are playing for the last spot in the World Series, where they'll be playing against the Ginger Snaps. And we have a couple unofficial leagues going on right now. One of them is a World Cup inspired draft, where it's no salary limit. We only drafted 3 starting pitchers, but we did a full 23 round draft on Slack. And then the other one, which will be starting shortly, is the Salty League, where we are drafting a stadium and one, quote, free player, where he doesn't cost anything on your roster. So if you guys see any of those mentioned in the Slack chat, that's what those are. With me this week is the manager of the New York Knights. They went 7-9 in the regular season in the high heat.
9-7,
sorry. Woo! Were you in third or fourth place?
Second, actually. I was third on, it's listed as third on the site, but I had a tiebreaker over the Chowder, so it was the fourth seed.
Gotcha. Welcome, George, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be on the podcast, especially before my Knights will pack up and move to Vermont, I guess, in about a month. It seems like it's coming up real fast, but I'm excited to be here and excited to be talking Clutch.
Yeah. So you beat the Cannons 2 games to none, and then you beat the Kings 2 games to 1, and then you ended up losing to the Ginger Snaps. They won 2-1 in the series. How did your playoffs go? I mean, obviously, other than pretty well.
I mean, I was just happy to get there. There was at one point where we were 4-7, and I was absolutely certain that we would not make the playoffs, especially because one game specifically, we were facing the Bluffton Beach Bums, and their number one starter is Roy Halladay, and I was at home, and I have at the Toronto Park, which means he was getting benefits from my stadium, and my number one starter isn't a Toronto pitcher. So I thought, oh God, Roy Halladay plus he's getting the stadium bonus. I thought it was all over, but we managed to weasel out that game and really win a lot of close games down the stretch to turn things around. And for the most part, I'm pretty happy with how we did in the playoffs. The Cannons were a really tough team all season. Kings looked really good as well. And the Ginger Snaps, like 12-4 record, speaks for itself. So to even beat one of those teams in a playoff series would be pretty tough. And to beat two of them and almost pull out the Eastern Conference title for my first year, like really playing Clutch or any sort of like baseball card game in like a tournament, or season format, I'm more than okay with that for now.
Did you ever get into MLB Showdown at all, or is this your first?
I played it, but I never played it in like a tournament. So usually when I played Showdown, like my friends and I would both have cards. We'd trade them back and forth, and we wouldn't follow really any of the rules for like team building or salary or stuff like that. We just like draft a team of all-stars and play them against each other. There would be no strategy cards. Obviously, it's already less complicated than Clutch because there's no stadiums or anything like that. So it was just something to do like while you're sitting in the cafeteria during your lunch period. Like you can get in a couple games of this as opposed to like one game of something more complicated like Stratomatic. It was fun, but I always regretted the fact that the game went off the market before I had a chance to like play in a tournament because I think I would have really enjoyed that. And Clutch coming on the market when it did, after I had some experience playing Magic the Gathering and other card games, really gave me the chance to scratch that itch. And High Heat's been a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I feel like we're probably in the same age range because my experience with MLB Showdown is very similar. That, I mean, I played by myself, and I would make like 3 or 4 teams out of all the cards I had, and then I would just play against myself and do like a tournament. But I was in the same boat too. It died out before I really kind of got old enough and used kind of the internet to its fullest extent. And so I was really excited when Clutch came around. So I'm like, ah, perfect.
The last set was in 2005. I was only 16 years old. So it's not as if my parents would let me go across the country to like play in a tournament. I could probably didn't go any further than New York.
Yeah. So then Clutch came along and, it's been great so far. All right. Let's talk about your Knights team here. You have the Toronto Stadium, which is indoors, so you couldn't use any of the new weather cards. Yeah, home games,
those just looked weird and confusing anyway. Like, I understand them. Like, they do seem like fun effects, especially the ones that probably a good way to do it is to, like, which for playing against a team with a good defense, use, like, use the strategies to knock their defense down. But for the most part, I was sort of glad not to deal with them. I figured they're not really super useful cards in my mind, and your deck space is probably better used for other ones.
Yeah, so for Toronto, the main effect is the highest ground ball on the pitcher's chart is a single, and with the Toronto's pitcher, that effect being negated. Did that affect how you built your team at all?
Well, it certainly affected it. Probably should have affected it even more than it did, to be honest with you. Now, I certainly put on a couple pitchers who I might have had anyway. Like Marcus Stroman, for example, is a ground ball type of pitcher. I really like ground ball pitching in this game, and there's a decent chance he would have been on the team no matter where I was playing. But the fact that I was playing in Toronto solidified it. I normally wouldn't spend as much on a closer as Osuna, but being in Toronto made that happen, and guys like Aaron Loop and Ryan Tepera were needed to just get as many Toronto pitchers on the roster as possible. I only had two Toronto starters. There are only four in the set, at least when we could build this. Roy Halladay is more expensive than I like my cards to be on the team. I tend to like everyone being sort of good as opposed to having like one superstar and a bunch of scrubs, so I probably wouldn't have taken him anyway. But I think the big mistake I made was taking Lance McCullers for his ground ball pitching and instead of taking the third Toronto starter, Marco Estrada. I feel like having Estrada in that spot would have actually helped my team quite a bit. I underrated the fact that Estrada can like turn around switch hitters and actually do better against them because of it. And McCullers really underperformed for me. I mean, yeah, there were times where he would just have people hitting into double plays, but there were other times where it felt like he couldn't get anyone out from, you know, like the 1-2 X zone and only the 4 command. So I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
He has 5 mistake pitches and he gave up 9 home runs.
Runs is a lot for a ground ball pitcher. It seems very much not what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that was because he faced, he was matched up against the Connecticut Kings twice, who I think led the league in home runs. Mm-hmm. Their lineup is just stacked top to bottom. Even if they're not hitting home runs in the seventh inning on, that team can absolutely hit the ball out of the park. So that affected things a little bit. McCullers' numbers negatively, but either way, I think Estrada would have been the right pick in that spot as opposed to McCullers, and it would have freed up, I don't know, 20 or 30 to like upgrade one of the positions or upgrade like a reliever.
Speaking of relievers, I see you join me on the Albert Suarez experiments and in the Adam Morgan disaster.
Yes. The Adam Yes, so the Adam Morgan disaster sounds like a really bad like episode of the X-Files, like after David Duchovny was off the show.
So tell me about that. Was that because he's a 3-inning pitch guy? He's the worst multi-inning relief pitcher. Was that a function of just him in mop-up duty, where you know you just left him out there and it didn't matter? He only looked like only threw one mistake pitch, which is impressive, with a 1-3 K X zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I have two rules when building a team, and that's no 5-inning starters and have at least two guys who go multiple innings in the bullpen. And as a function of that, like Morgan and Suarez were the guys, especially because due to that early like mess up with the database, I didn't think I could take Archie Bradley because I thought he was a closer and I couldn't not have Osuna on the team in Toronto. Morgan isn't very good. But for the purposes of like making sure that your bullpen is relatively safe if a game's out of hand, either one way or another, are important things to have. Plus, you never know when a starting pitcher is going to go out early, or you're going to have a pitcher who just can never get that fast worker. He's always giving up like a single or a walk every inning. So it's just good to have those guys around.
He's also a lefty with a L plus one. So against lefties, he's a 4. So he's not great, but. You know, he could be useful.
There is no bad option at 110 points that goes 3 innings.
That is very true. He pitched 4 games in 8 innings, so pitched about 2 innings every appearance. Yes, that was interesting because I just noticed that. Your Suarez did pretty bad too. I don't think as bad as mine. Your Suarez had 10 mistake pitches, and pitched 12 innings in 5 appearances. So
yeah, it was hard to manage the mistake pitches, but on the whole, there were times where he single-handedly saved me in games, like just coming in. There were times where he was bad and made things worse. There were other times where he was really solid and got me through like 2 or 3 innings relatively untouched. I could not say the same for Adam Morgan, who was a tire fire from beginning to end.
And that's what drove me nuts with Suarez, because he would, it almost felt like he would throw 2 innings of nothing. He would throw, you know, not allow a single runner on base. And then the third inning just completely, you know, fall apart. Or, you know, he would go in an entire appearance great, and then the next game he'd give up like 5 runs for me.
I still like him as a card, though.
I would definitely still roster him. If I had to do my roster over again, he wouldn't be one of the changes I made. Because, like you said, he's very useful for saving your bullpen.
And I think having those cost-effective, like, long-inning options is important. And if you look at the others, like, Chris Rusin is a very good pitcher, but 300 is hard to spare for that kind of pitcher, especially one that you're that is good enough to the point where you're not really using him as, like, a long reliever. You're using him as a 2-inning setup man all the time. So that sort of takes you out of the intended role of those sorts of guys, which is to really protect the rest of your team.
I noticed you have no stolen bases.
Yes. I mean, we have no speed A guys. So, and with the way that the team works, with the way that, like, the league works, especially with people rostering Maldonado and a bunch of high arm catchers, and the way, like, battery is added into throwing arm, if you don't have speed A, you really shouldn't be stealing under nearly any circumstances. So I didn't think any of the speed A guys were really did what I wanted them to do. Maybe D. Gordon would have been the one exception, but I decided that Cesar Hernandez being a switch hitter and having that extra on base is ultimately what I wanted more from my leadoff spot than the steals.
It's interesting. I found that in general, players aren't very well-rounded. D. Gordon is a good example. Like, he's got good speed and he's very useful because he plays second or center field. With a 4 fielding, he got speed A, he gets on at 5 or higher, but then to double with him, it's a natural 20 roll. That's one thing I noticed, and maybe that's just me wanting superstars.
Yeah, I mean, but you're paying a decent price for him. Like, you can only use him at one of those two positions, but you're paying for him to be able to play both center field and second base. So unless he's just the right fit for that particular situation, he's not, like, and I thought that was the case with my other team, which we might get into later. I don't think he's the best guy to use. A lot of those leadoff type guys with speed A, whether we're talking about him, whether we're talking about Hamilton, who has, like, the bad clutch in like Gordon, but also can't really get on base like Gordon, you're giving up a lot to get speed. And unless you also have a strategy deck that's helping you steal bases, you're not really gaining much value from that speed being there other than solid base running. And I think you can get that from a lot of the speed B guys.
I also noticed when I was perusing your team that Maldonado, Oder, and Martin, they all managed to appear in games, but none of them had any at-bats.
Maldonado actually had an at-bat in the playoffs against the Ginger Snaps, because the only time that any of those guys would get used is like Odor would pinch run, usually for smoke to up the speed. I think that was the one time that happened. And Maldonado and Martin would come in as defensive replacements to up the outfield fielding by one or up the battery by two.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's all they really do. I mean, I figured Maldonado was worth the extra 5 points if I can get a late defensive replacement against the team, you know, just to solidify the defense late. Avila didn't give me any like great offensive production, but I think he would have given me more than Maldonado did. Certainly, I would have liked to see a little more power from Avila. That was the thing I found a little disappointing. But it seems like there's a really big difference between the guys that homer on 20 and the guys that homer on 21. That is not a small difference, and it seems to add up to a very big degree of like power separation between those two groups.
That's interesting you use that bench that way, because so far you're the only person that's really done that. I mean, there's some people that will use them and pinch hit them. I didn't use them at all. But that's interesting you used them that way.
I mean, back in with Showdown, I always used to consider my bench like a place for defensive replacements if I was trying to play by the rules. I really don't think, even with like some of the one who knocks or the other cards like giving you a boost to like pinch hitting, I don't think it's a very cost effective way to use your bench for platooning. It seems to be once you get into the legitimate cost platoon players, you're giving up, you know, 100 points like a bench part each. You're getting like it costs like significantly more than those lower end bench points. So it's just you're better off using it as a cost sink more than anything else. And if not a cost sink, then at least like cheap defensive replacements.
For me, the only way I was going to spend money on my bench is if I went the Shohei Ohtani route, which I didn't do. All right, we're back after some technical difficulties. So Shohei Ohtani, yay or nay?
That would be a nay for me. As I said before, I think this is really core to my philosophy. I don't like spending like big money, even sometimes if I'm getting big production, but especially if I don't know if I am. And I think that's the case with Ohtani, especially as a hitter. As a hitter, he's sort of a slow number two, number five type. I almost actually took him in the salty draft because I think he's a good fit in like the New York park where you can lower that 21 home run to 20. And then I think he becomes a lot better of a value. But otherwise, I think you're getting a really good but not elite starting pitcher and a decent hitter for the price of a superstar. And plus, you have to have at least a usable DH, which means he's really not costing you 805. He's costing you 805 plus the cheapest DH you can think of, which in my case would probably be like Chris Davis, I guess would be my example, who's 150 points. So it's really a 1,000-point commitment when I don't think you're getting 1,000-point production.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have to be a very specific situation, like perhaps a longer season. But when you get into kind of shorter tournaments, yeah, he's just not quite good enough for all the reasons you said, really. But I always like when I see people using him because it's a fun and interesting card to have a double-sided card like that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that he exists as a card, but there's a ton of cards that like I will not get to use because it's just not the way I play. And I think he would probably fall into that category.
And honestly, that's the most interesting thing about the team building Slack channel is to see how everybody goes about building their teams. Because like everybody has their own like little things of like what they do and don't like. And so it's just really interesting to see how people approach the same problem. You have 6,000 points and you have to build a 25-man team. You know, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, it's a really tough call, and you always feel like the limit's right at the point where you feel like you can pretty solidly put a bunch of good players together, but not so big to the point where you don't feel like you're making tough decisions about the kind of style you're going to play and like maybe downgrading from one guy to another.
Yeah, I use the channel more to kind of, I'll take ideas, and there's 400 cards, so it's hard to really like get a feel for all of them. And I feel like this year and last year there was always like that one or two card that I kind of missed, but then by going through the team building it kind of was like, oh, that card is actually good and useful, and oh, actually he would work really well on this team.
Yeah, I mean there's always like cards that you don't realize are going to be as good as they are until you actually like see them played against you. Like I never would have thought that Davinsky, the guy who got banned, would have been as good as he was and just on as many teams as he was. But looking at it again, you sort of say, well, what the hell am I thinking? Obviously, he's a really good reliever who you can get two innings out of. Why shouldn't he be on every team?
I didn't use him. And then he got banned, and I was like, I am an idiot. I absolutely should have used him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting part about this game, where you can look at two players and see like completely opposite things. Like, I think a good example of that is a guy who tends to end up on my teams because I tend to play for power hitting, Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber is a guy that some people will look at and they will not be able to look. They'll say, look, he's got eight outs on his card and he's an on-base 11. I would never play that guy. Well, there's other people who look at it like, hey, it's pretty solid defense for a guy who's only 210 points. And he homers on 19, which means that I can put him in the back end of the lineup. And if a pitcher makes a mistake, like that's a much higher upside than going with maybe an Alex Gordon for a similar price. You know, that's the interesting part about this game, where you see people's philosophies and the way they value talent really come out in the players that they particularly pick. And although there's certainly a consensus that some players are good or some players are better than others, there are very few players other than like the bench players or like the back end relievers you see fairly universally on most teams around the league. And I think that's a sign that the set is really well designed and really healthy.
Speaking of Schwarberger, his card last year, last season set, it was a limited edition card. And it was actually crazy good. He was 11 with a R+2. And then he had a positive 2 clutch. He was out at 7 and homered at 19. I remember using him in a couple of my rosters.
I remember that
last year
too, because I played against my friend and David, and I used to play together a lot. And I ended up with Detroit as my stadium. And my first thought was, I need to have Kyle Schwarber because he's got like that. It was either +2 or +3 clutch, and he was only 310 points.
Yep.
So I figured him and John Carlos Stanton could be like the backbone of that sort of lineup, and it was fairly successful.
All right, let's talk about the All-Star set that's coming out. Hopefully it should be in everybody's mailbox this week. Fingers crossed. Thanks
yeah,
a lot.
We US have to Customs. Pray to the DHL gods, apparently, yeah. According to what I'm reading in the Slack.
Shipping tracking drives me up the wall. We live in 2018, and I swear, shipping tracking, no matter what company you use, is like still in the early 2000s with their tracking ability.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I have the full list in front of me. Did you find any guys that you found interesting?
One guy I found interesting was Jose Martinez, the third baseman for Cleveland. I thought he had a card that was a bit underpowered considering how awesome he was last year. No, did I get that wrong? Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
Did I say that right the first time? Now his new version of the card with the 19-plus home run, I think is better reflection of how good of a player he is. Plus, you're not paying the premium for him to play both second and third. He's just an elite third baseman. That card jumped out at me immediately as someone that I think should be strongly considered as a cornerstone player for a lot of different teams.
Yeah, especially because he doubles on 16, too, which is kind of
pretty
a big
fantastic
deal. I really like Ryan Healy. He's the 50, everybody's new favorite 50-point bench guy.
Yeah.
But he's
yeah,
actually
everyone's new favorite scrub.
Yeah, he's actually interesting, though. I'm intrigued by him.
So what role do you use, or do you plan on envision using him in, other than just existing on your team?
Well, and this is actually something that one of the clutch guys mentioned. I'm not sure if it was Monty or Jordan. But they had mentioned that they were waiting for someone to get 4 insane batters and then just absolutely punt everything else. And
yeah.
He's an interesting guy for that kind of strategy, whether you go full on with 4 guys or you kind of do just decide, I'm going to punt 2 positions. So you can either play him at first base with 0 defense, which is not ideal, but if you have a really good infield defense anyways, 2 is nothing. And you can also put him at DH, which isn't ideal. However, his batting card isn't terrible, other than him having a 10. He gets out at 6, which is pretty low. And then he singles at 9, which is actually on the better side. So I just think he's an interesting guy where you could use him to punt. And if you do end up on his card, like, he's not like the absolute worst. Your other bench guys that you're going to have are Wieters, Oder, and Martin. And Martin gets out at 8, and he singles on 12.
Yeah.
Oder.
Yeah, Martin is absolutely worthless other than as a pinch runner or a defensive replacement.
Yeah.
If you start him, you deserve whatever happens to you.
And then Oder is similarly okay. That he gets out at 7, gets a single at 9 as well, but he's a 9 on base. And then Wieters, same thing, out at 7, and then he doesn't single till 11.
Yeah, Yeah, Odor could be like a desperation pinch hitter because of that 19-plus home run, but that would be about it, I could imagine. Healy is okay. Honestly, like, it seems like 50 points is a little low for him, but he is basically a DH functionally as the game goes. You know, I don't know if I would ever use him, but because I don't think I would ever go with the, like, you know, just grab, you know, Maguire, Altuve, you know, Maguire, Altuve, Sosa, and then, I don't know, another elite player and just see whatever happens. I think that team would drive me insane. Like, even if we would get, I could imagine that team loading the bases and then all of a sudden, like, Adney Hecheverria was strolling up to the plate and I would just lose my mind.
The other guy that pops out to me is Max Muncy from the Dodgers. He's a utility guy with a fielding of three. And I know people don't love him, but to have a utility guy with a fielding of three and his card, he's a on base of 13, gets out up to six. He doesn't single till 15, which is less than ideal, but I don't know. I think he's another guy too, where you could get creative with him. And like I said, there's a couple times where I've been looking to see if I could use a utility guy, but they're always only a one defense, and that usually kind of kills it for me. But he's interesting as well.
Yeah, no, he's definitely someone that I would consider using, like, much more than Healy. But Muncy, I think, is like a good fit if you already have an idea of what you want as a team and you just need, like, another hitter-ish guy to throw in there. Like, honestly, as a batting card, like, that's better than Ohtani. He's a better hitter than Ohtani, and Ohtani can't play the field for you. And certainly, if you're going for, like, an all-defense strategy, can't give you three fielding at first base, or can't potentially give you three fielding at one of, like, the corner outfield spots, where it's not always easy to get a guy who can do that. You know, he's not incredible, but I certainly more than usable.
On the pitcher side of things, I mean, the big names were Pedro and Steve Rogers, who have the 8 innings pitched. Everybody's saying Rogers was OP, but he's only a 5 command, so, and he homers at 25. So it's not as if, you know, if you send him in for the 9th without any strat cards, he's at a 4 commands. Sure, his exit rating is only 1, but you could conceivably get a home run pretty easily with him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going a complete game with him, I mean, you make sure you fast workered him or quality started him at one point. But yeah, I would say he's probably the pitcher in the set I would most imagine myself using in almost entirely because of that high innings pitched. I think there really isn't enough of a premium put on that based on when I look at the premium card. Based on what I look at the cards, you know, 5 IP, only 1 X and like 17 outs. That's really hard to get, even if you're an IP 6. And even then, you'd be paying at least 400 for a guy like that. That's, I know a guy in that range would be the ace on my Knights team, Kyle Hendricks. And he's like in the 420 point range. So, like, you're paying basically only 100 more for 2 more innings pitched, which over a long term is going to add up to a whole lot. So I think I would wish he put the ball on the ground a little bit more. His strikeouts and groundouts only go up to 11, which is a little bit on the high side for me. I'd prefer it lower. I'd prefer it closer to 13, but I think he's a pretty good value for 525. I would definitely consider him as like a good number one starter on a competitive tournament team.
The other guy that caught my eye too was Yoshida Hirano, the relief pitcher for Arizona. 280 points, 6 commands, 1 inning pitch, X rating of 1, walks at 19 and homers at 25. He's an interesting guy. You could potentially use him as a multi-inning guy as well. He was interesting to me.
Yeah, a good closer to have too. I mean, I guess he only has the reliever designation, right? He's not a closer on the card, but you could use him in that role, certainly. Yeah,
that's true.
I think he'd be pretty good at it. Yeah, very, very, very rock solid card. Maybe a little more than I want to pay for a closer, but that sounds like fairly good results. Pretty comparable to like an Aroldis Chapman. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, except, you know, in the court of public opinion and the court of legal opinion. But no, as a card, fantastic.
Yeah, I think I said that. Was it Chapman or it might have been someone else? I think it was Chapman. Maybe. I might have drafted him in the World Cup Cup draft. I drafted one of the relief pitchers, and I said and I said something to that effect. I was like, he's a terrible person, but he's a good card. So.
Yes, I mean, look, we're not in the business of making moral judgments here. This is not why you come to the Clutch Baseball Podcast. You don't want to hear.
Oh, I'm absolutely judging him, but I'm still going to use his card.
Yeah. I mean, he's a card. Like, it's not as if you're giving Osuna money. Like, yeah. Osuna may. I don't know if Osuna makes any money from this license. I doubt it. So,
oh, a few pennies. No. All right, so let's wrap up. I want to quickly discuss your Salty League team, and that you drafted New York Yankees field, which the main effect is left-handed batters or switch hitters versus right-handed pitchers. The home run is one number lower, and then New York pitchers, the main effect is negated. You drafted Charlie Blackmon as your freebie, so he costs you 0 points. The fairly obvious choice player-wise, considering the stadium. How high on your list was New York Stadium to draft? Was that your first choice?
My first choice was probably Big Red Machine, but I might have had New York Yankee Stadium as high as second, and I think here's the reason why. I really like stadiums. There's two types of stadiums in Clutch, if you're going to say broadly. One are where there's an effect that affects both teams, but you can double down on it and make it bigger for your team. And there's other stadiums where there's an effect, but you can eliminate it for the other team if you play smart and or have the right people on your squad. And I think that second type of stadium is arguably more powerful. So one of the consensus best stadiums is like the Angels. The Angels but the Angel Stadium sort of affects both teams a whole lot. So if you face another power hitting team, they're also drawing a lot of cards. So it's hard to take advantage of that effect and know it will be considerably better for you than it will be for another player. But when I looked at the Yankees pitchers that were available, especially when you take into account the All-Star game card for Severino that turned him from like a decent, okay, like number two-ish starter to a bona fide legitimate ace, when you can get four starters like Severino, Tanaka, Sabathia, and Gray to build a rotation around, when you can get three guys in the bullpen like Chapman, Robertson, and Betances who can shut down a team in the late innings and have those great like cards, especially with 18 outs, I thought to myself, this is a really easy effect to potentially make almost exclusively one-sided when you're at home. And I think sometimes looking carefully at those stadiums that have like certain players that can insulate you, that can make sure that you're only taking advantage of the effect, are stadiums that sometimes people sleep on when evaluating them. And I just thought that the depth of players that depth of pitchers that New York could offer me, in addition to an effect that I don't think is that hard to build around. There's a lot of good lefty and switch power hitters in the set. It was just too tempting that I think if I were drafting anywhere other than first, I would have taken them.
Yeah. Your team's really interesting. And I think that's a solid strategy. You have five lefties and four switch hitters. And you have four starting pitchers that are Yankees and three relief pitchers that are Yankees as well. Looking down your lineup, Gordon will homer at 23 now, Blackmon 18, Ramirez still 19, Maris 17, Thames 18, Smoke 19, Schwarber 18, Weeders 21 and Galvis 22. So that's and plus you got Oder on the bench who will now homer at 18 as well.
in the case of emergency pinch hitter, he can homer on 18. Like I can deal with that. I think one of the things that made it advantageous to like load up the top of the lineup is that Weeders becomes a much more usable option, especially if a right-handed pitcher is facing him at home. Whereas homering on 20 instead of 21, all of a sudden that 95 looks more like an 195 point catcher when around that point. So, and he's decent enough defensively that I don't think I'm just conceding things to the speed team. to a speedy team from that. Plus, almost all the Yankee pitchers are fairly good defensively, other than Betances. So my battery should be protected at least somewhat that way.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
No, I'm excited for it. I wanted the team to be extra dumb. And when I saw Ramirez's new card, because I didn't want to just go exclusively with lefties, because I didn't want to risk like someone throwing in like lefties in the late innings and shutting the lineup down. I wanted to have an occasional switch hitter in there. And when I saw Ramirez's card with the 19-plus home runs and the 13 on base and the really good four defense at third base, I'm like, all right, there's my number three hitter to break up Blackman, Maris, and Thames. And I'm like, it's on. Like,
yeah,
this is going to be fun.
Your infield is really good. It's a 15, so, and your outfield's an 8, which is, I would say, average. And then your battery is anywhere from 8 to 12. So,
yeah. I think my only question was filling out like the back end with relievers. As you can see with my bullpen, all 8 of the people in my bullpen have at least -1 clutch, which I don't think anyone has ever pulled off before.
Oh,
not a single positive clutch to be found. But I liked Barraclough's like low X range for a middle reliever, like only being +1. I would have considered. I would have considered Juris Familia as well, but I had to use the closer shot on Chapman. That was, I was not going to have a team without him in Yankee Stadium. And Peralta, I think, is a pretty good like lefty guy. It seems like lefty relievers are a lot harder to come by in this game at a reasonable price. But you know, a solid 4, you know, for 145 with good defense and next range of 1-2, decent ground ball. I can deal with that for someone who might be potentially pitching a 6th or a 7th inning.
All right. Thanks for joining me.
Great to be on this podcast. I really enjoyed talking to you, even if occasionally you sounded like a robot due to technical difficulties, but we can do
that. I don't know
what
you're talking about.
Excuse me. We edited that part out of the podcast.
That never happened. All right. Have a good one.